It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete. Another touchdown.
Cougar Sports Saturday. Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL
Sports. Left wing for three.
He got it again.
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hope all of you are having a fantastic Saturday afternoon, midway point of this program. And Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte here in downtown Salt Lake City at Broadcast House. At this juncture of the show, we always roll out our favorite segment of the program, Matt.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
Top 5.
Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. Here's the Top 5.
We do this every week. It's a battle of institutional knowledge of BYU. Except for when our producer, Nate Slack, chooses a list of his own choosing based off his own preference. That's where it gets a little off the... No, I'm kidding, Nate. That's a joke, by the way. But every single week, our producer, Nate Slack, comes up with a list. Could be factual, could be preferential. And me and Mitch, with nothing in front of us, no computers, no... Chat GPT, none of that. We're just guessing off the cuff to see who can get three correct answers and win for a given week. Nate, glad to have you with us, man.
Yeah, good to be here with you guys. And I think this summer is going to be a lot of fun. We're celebrating the 100 years of BYU football this season, so I think I have a lot of historical topics I can have for the top five.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're going to be starting that this week.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, though. Yeah. So you put out the first 25 on KSLSports.com?
I did. I'm rolling out the 100 greatest players in BYU football history. Players 100 to 76 got rolled out this week. Coming up on Wednesday, I'll roll out 75 to 51. Been a fun project just to put, you know, kind of put almost, I wanted it to be the authority on the best players in BYU football history. Some of it will probably be conjuring up debate. When we roll out the whole list, we'll probably dive into it deeper here on the show. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun project to put together.
All right, go ahead, Nate.
So we're not going to be looking at players today, but we are going to be looking at games. And in the 100 years, BYU has played 112 different teams. For today's top five, you guys are going to have to name the five Power Four teams that BYU has played the most often. So I'm gonna give you guys number one is Utah. That's not going to be on the list. So you guys have to basically do teams 2 through 6. So the Power Four teams that have appeared most on the schedule in BYU's history.
Okay.
And we're going to be starting out with Mitch.
Let's go with Arizona.
Arizona number 2 on the list. So it's 25 games.
So Utah was 1 and then Arizona was next.
I guess number 3. So Arizona's okay. Technically number 3. Number 2 on this list. 25 games, 12 wins, 12 losses, and then 1 tie.
Good to have Arizona back in the same league as BYU. They were once in the WAC together. And I feel like, you know, I'm very interested to see, you know, the first year in the Big 12 for BYU was a honeymoon as far as fan relationships. When you bring in the Pac-12 schools.
Oh, the fan relationships are gone. There's the four Pac-12 teams against the rest.
Yes, it does feel that way, and it feels like the Pac-12 teams will almost like respect some of the other Big 12 teams, but they'll hate BYU.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out, but there's always been some good games against Arizona, and hey, look, it's a fun series for BYU because they always win it. They always beat Arizona, so that's always been nice, especially for Kalani, who 2016, 2018, 2021, all wins, and they were, what, three different venues. So, big wins for BYU.
Let's keep it in the same state, the Sun Devils of Arizona State.
I was going to say, no, it is number 1 on the list.
Oh, boy.
Number 1 on this list, 28 games. There's 8 wins, 20 losses, 0 ties. I was kind of surprised by this one because I remember going up into the 2021 Arizona State game that they hadn't played in a long time. But, yeah, 28 games.
There's a real chance that game has enormous significance at the end of this year. The timing of the game is fabulous. Late November in Arizona, sign me up. I need to be at that from a weather perspective. But could that be a game that determines bowl eligibility? Maybe for both teams. I think Arizona State's a bad football team, but
Big 12 had to think that, right? If you're going to make Arizona State BYU interesting in 2024, put it in the second to last week where both teams are 5-5, you know, looking for that sixth win to get to the bowl game. I think that was probably the thought of why the Big 12 did that.
Yeah. Interesting, though, that they're that high, because in recent years, I'm like, you obviously remember the Tyler Allgeier punch fumble, but after that, it's been a long time.
Yeah, 1998 before that, and 97 they played, 95, but that's it. The last, you know, quarter, 30 years or so, they had that 2020 game in Tempe that they were going to play, but then it got canceled. So we'll maybe talk about that 2020 team coming up a little bit later in the program. Someone had a bold take that might be the best team ever.
We'll have to chime in on that.
But yes, Arizona State. It'll be fun to see that series back annually. Probably. I mean, at least not like Utah, but it'll probably be every two, three, out of those 4 years, probably a lot.
Yeah, tied up at one. Back to Mitch.
Let's go with the Washington Huskies.
Washington's number 6 on the list. So 11 games.
Yeah, that was a series, Washington, where it's like a lot of games, but yeah.
Let's go with the newest transfer portal, one of the darlings of college basketball, leaving LSU, going to, and this is Haley Van Lith, by the way, going to the Horned Frogs of TCU.
Yep, good pull.
Yep, the Mountain West day is sure helped, but 12 games between BYU and TCU. BYU's 5-7. But good for number 3 on the list.
I desperately wanted that game to be close last year because, like, the memories of those from the Mountain West days were fun games, good games, upsets on the road, and then they just laid a total egg against a mediocre TCU team.
Unreal, that game in Fort Worth. And I honestly left that stadium thinking, oh, TCU's probably going to bounce back. Josh Hoover's the truth. No, they just crushed BYU. They looked like they were superhuman, TC. They looked like they were ready for the playoff again.
Seriously. I felt that. I'm like, oh, Josh Hoover. Really, it's just another chapter in what's becoming a long book of third-string quarterbacks slicing and dicing BYU. Oh, put him in the Hall of Fame of backups that just wrecked the Cougs.
We had a bunch of those last year. Because Texas had a backup quarterback.
Oh, my.
TCU had the backup quarterback.
Don't even get me started on the Texas quarterback. He didn't even look good. Malik Murphy.
No, and then he transferred out. All right, Matt, this is for your win.
Oh, my goodness. This is for the win?
Yeah.
Power 4 teams. I don't know why I feel this way, but it might just be my YouTube history, that beat down of Norm Chow from 2008. What about UCLA? Let's go!
That was my next pick.
Number 5 on the list, UCLA. Just sneaking in, they have 12 games, so that beat out Washington by 1.
Oh!
12 games. BYU's 3-9 all time against UCLA. But yeah, that 2008 game, the 59 zip, that's one of my favorite games I've been to.
That was unbelievable. I mean, was that the most perfect game that BYU football has ever played? Just everything went their way. Explosive plays galore, could do no wrong. Like, can you think of a better start-to-finish performance than that UCLA win in 2008?
The only one that would probably compare is, this is a deep cut, but 1989 against Utah, when they the first 7 drives, touchdowns. They were up 49-0 at the half. That's the only other one that you could think of and say it comes close to how it played out. But, yeah, amazing performance.
You got to give the edge to the 89. I mean, it's Utah. When you beat them like that.
And they scored 70, and they probably could have scored like 150 points because they called off the dogs in the third quarter with Ty. But that UCLA game was, what was it, the first 4 drives?
Yeah, it was, the halftime score was
it
49-0?
I think it was 35-0 at halftime because there was a blocked field goal as well in the second quarter.
Oh,
and I'll never forget that because the whole place is going, block, duck, kick, and BYU's up by 35 points, and then they block it.
But there's not a game that just you could point to that just shows you how college football has changed. That was a run-of-the-mill, mid-afternoon, on the Versus channel. that probably got very little run. That would be a featured FS1 game today. UCLA and BYU.
And it was Mountain West versus Pac-10. Now that would be Big 10, Big 12.
Oh, man.
The world has changed a
college
lot in 16 years.
Has changed a lot. There's one more left. Let's see if we can get it. What do you got, Mitch?
One more thing on that UCLA game. That was a wild three-week stretch because the week before that was the win at Washington.
Yep, 28-27.
Questionable win, though. Was that Jake Locker?
Yeah, they threw it in the air.
Yeah.
And then the week after the UCLA game was against Wyoming. BYU won 44-zip.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back-to-back weeks, shutouts, just blowout games.
And then Jim Rome, the following, after the Wyoming game, let's bring on my next guest, Bronco Mendenhall, heck of a coach, just won 103-0 in the last 2 weeks. Unreal. Rack him.
How are you doing at Bronco?
Love that guy.
All right, so the last one. Any guesses?
I've got a guess, but I'll let Mitch try first.
Oregon State.
No, Oregon State.
USC.
So one quick note. Oregon State's number 6 on the list. They're tied with Washington, but I wasn't going to count them anyways because they're not technically P4 anymore.
Oh, good point. Yeah, wow. USC.
No, USC's not in the top 15.
Yeah, okay. USC, they only played 03-04.
That was their first series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in 03.
29-21.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
I think I have it.
How about...
No.
Let's go with maybe Colorado.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Colorado, 12 games. BYU's 3-8.
Because they played in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference like in the 20s. In like the 30s.
The Buffs.
Yeah, it's crazy too. The last time Colorado,
are they going to be at the laughingstock of the Big 12 next year? Like when Shadur leaves, does Prime leave?
I don't think so. I think Prime wants to be in college football. I do, and I think that Colorado, despite all the craziness last year and them only going 4-8, I do think that they still got better. Like they were an absolute wreck with Stanford that previous year. They're their one win team. I think they'll be good enough to get to 4 or 5. I thought when Prime took over year 2, they're going to the playoff. That's not happening.
Where did Cormani McClain end up?
He has not ended up anywhere, and that's a name that I feel like BYU should kick the tires on.
Look at what the Google search just pops up immediately.
That BYU picture of Cormani. Yes, that would be. That would be, to me, a summer edition that's, like, worth adding just to take a flyer.
I'm not there. If Prime is cutting you because you can't be serious, why would you bring him in?
You know me. I'm a sucker for those stars. Give me that 5-star.
I wasn't even attending his meetings.
I'm like that NFL
GM.
He got
put on blast in front of the team.
I'm that NFL position coach. Like, I can fix him. I can fix him. I can get him. I can get the most out of him. Like, that's me when I see a 5-star. I can get the most out of him.
He has fallen off. He's going to be choosing between UCF and USF, going back to his roots in Florida.
Jeez. That's tough.
Yeah. When you go to be coached by Prime and he sends you packing, that's not a good look.
The program's clearly are taking your approach. Gus Malzahn is taking my approach. Gus Malzahn's like, I'll fix him.
When you're UCF and USF, you need to take some swings like that.
You do. And if anything, if you're a program like UCF, you just generate headlines. You get your three letters into a headline around the league and around college football by landing that dude. And for programs like that, that's almost like half the battle. Just kind of get into the conversation in a slow month of May where people are looking to
listen to
talk
this.
About
this
stuff.
Is what you want. This is what Prime told a reporter in September of 2023. What does McClain need? This is a deep tangent that we went on here. What does McClain need to do to play? Prime, quote, study and prepare. Be on time to your meetings. Show up to your meetings. Understand the scheme. Check film. That's not a glowing endorsement.
I can get him to watch film.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
I can get him to watch film. Jarrell could get him to watch film.
Oh, jeez.
One of the best recruiting visits during my time at KSL was when Cormani McClain showed up because it was BYU versus Idaho State. And I'm like, I don't give a rip about this BYU-Idaho State game. I'm going to be just tracking the moves of this 5-star recruit that rolled into town. So everything, the documentation of 5-star Cormani McClain visiting BYU. And that's what BYU fans wanted. They were all about that. I remember the page views on that that game, like the Idaho State recap. Like, yeah, I got it. BYU football always gets a great run.
Yep.
But, like, the content, the engagement from the Cormani McClain stuff, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's the good stuff.
If that didn't scare you off, what about this? In the final three games of the season against Arizona, Washington State, and Utah, he was targeted 25 times. Any guesses on how many receptions he gave up in those three games?
23.
17.
18. Close. I mean, 23 is. That is so.
I thought it was going to be just epically
bad.
Oh, man.
Bad. 18 to 25 is not bad. Great, though.
Well,
I'd still easy on him. he deserves another chance, but I just don't think I want that to be at BYU.
Well, and that Colorado program will be interesting. I mean, the whole Big 12 is just a bunch of programs that how good will they truly be in this league of no bell cow, blue blood powerhouses? And who's going to emerge to the top? And that's what makes the Big 12 race so exciting this year, is that you don't have a Texas and Oklahoma. They're going to suffocate the league. It's all open, man. And I know that many think that Utah's just going to dominate. I disagree there. I think Utah's going to definitely be in the mix. I think they're going to be in that top three for sure. But I don't think they're going to just dominate. I think they're going to take some losses, and everyone's going to have some L's in this league. So it should be fun. And it's even better, too, when you know the champion's going to be in the playoff. So much on the line in the Big 12 this season.
Let's keep talking some Big 12 football on the other side. I'm curious, just after, you know, after spring football, maybe a dark horse contender from you, yeah, someone that you think is going to fall off the face of the earth. We'll talk some Big 12 football after this.